drug use, paraphernalia stories, death, and animal attacks.
Okay. Well, I got number one for you here.
Meth, death, and animal attacks.
Got meth for you here.
Oh, nice.
You know where the what's being proclaimed now? I don't think proudly so, but what's being proclaimed the new meth capital of the U.S., if not the world, is?
Okay.
It's not Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's the easy answer.
Yeah, it's too easy, too low-hanging fruit. It's not Arkansas.
Gotta be somewhere, I'm gonna guess, like Nebraska.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Fresno, California.
Wow.
Fresno, California. It says meth has taken control of a large swath of Fresno. National data shows deaths from methamphetamine and psychostimulants are up 48% in the year from May 2020 through April 2021, accounting for more than a quarter of all overdose deaths in that time in the country. More than 25%. And in Fresno, meth is the leading killer.
So. See, if Sons of Anarchy were real, this wouldn't be happening.
Really?
Because the Sons weren't about drugs.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, yep. Snoop. Did you watch Sons of Anarchy, Snoop?
Mm-mm.
No.
All right. Let me scale down from meth to cannabis for a moment here, okay? All right. We take you to Bangkok, Thailand. Okay.
Let me stop you. Is there a Hitler fried chicken tie-in?
There's
no?
Not a Hitler fried chicken tie-in. Okay. However, we have Crazy Happy Pizza. That's the name of the place. And they've got a pizza that's topped with a cannabis leaf. See it here, right here? That's it right there.
So Crazy Happy Pizza is the name of this chain this place?
It's it. You know, it's pretty powerful cannabis, apparently, pretty powerful marijuana as an optional condiment. Now, the general manager said, of course, they cannot get high. It's just a marketing campaign. And you can taste the cannabis. And then if you have enough, you maybe get a little bit sleepy. So that's their claim on that Crazy Happy Pizza. There's one more drug oriented thing. Not necessarily drug. Well, it's kind of a drug. According to a new study, listen closely to this, Snoop. No. Of course, you're not into this anyway.
No.
But men who vape,
I don't vape.
Have a higher risk of erectile dysfunction compared to non-vapers.
Hey-o.
According to this, American Journal of Preventive Medicine, men who use e-cigarettes are more than twice as likely to experience erectile dysfunction compared to those who don't vape. First effort to study the relationship between vaping and sexual health, researchers analyzed self-reported data from more than 13,000 men aged 20 and up in the National Population of Assessment Tobacco and Health Study. Those who reported daily e-cig use were 2.2 times more likely to report not being able to get it together.
So basically, if you have to vape, like you just that's your vice or that's how you handle
your world
tobacco consumption whatever.
Yep.
You need to make sure you've got a prescription for the little blue miracle. That's basically what you're saying.
Also, you're mixing that. I see what you're saying. Yeah, do one and then the other.
Yeah,
or something.
I
got you. Okay.
Yeah. Now imagine if you're vaping, you're not just probably stopping cold turkey.
Yeah. Probably not.
Or maybe you've got the little blue miracle and you just haven't put two and two together.
Okay.
I don't know.
Finally. Here, we've all been down this road at this time of year where a package doesn't arrive that's supposed to. Not meth or vaping, just Christmas. Holiday gifts, right? Holiday gifts. We've all had that experience to us. Well, it's happening more in the state of Alabama than anywhere else, apparently. A FedEx driver has dumped packages at least six times into a ravine. Authorities were investigating the discovery of hundreds of FedEx packages.
Jeez.
In, I'm not making this up, Blount County, Alabama, found 300 to 400 packages in a ravine on private property. Come to find out it was one driver who investigators believe was responsible had been identified and questioned. Name of the driver wasn't released, and it said investigators determined that the driver, this was the actual quote, Jeff. Investigators determined that the driver dumped at least six times. Was the actual.
In one day?
Yeah, pooped 11 times in one day.
No, we dumped packages. And the question driver, quote, is no longer providing service on behalf of FedEx Ground.
You don't say.
FedEx. So there it is. There's your inconceivable for the day. We have hour number two of Light the Tower coming up right here on Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24-7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. Clean up from hour number one. Beaver Lance Jason says, hey, one package not being delivered to Alabama this holiday season, a national championship.
We don't know that yet.
We're assuming that Georgia will take out Alabama and keep them out of the playoff. But if Alabama wins, they're going to be in the playoff. But Beaver Lance Jason is not expecting Alabama to beat Georgia.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
I had Georgia as my national champion at the start of the year, so
yeah.
I like the Bulldogs. Real quick, though, I'll say this about Bama. My colleague Josh Pate, who does an outstanding job with the late kick with Josh Pate at 24/7 Sports, pointed this out. Like, people were wondering, like, why was Nick Saban, like, just looked happy at the end of the Iron Bowl, like, more jovial than you see Nick Saban after a win? It's probably because going 11-1 and getting to the SEC championship game the year after, you probably had your best team ever and lost a bunch of guys in the NFL for you to be in this position where you're in the thick of the playoff discussion, that's a hell of an accomplishment. Like, that's,
yes.
And granted, look, it's Alabama. Their reloads are different than everybody else's reloads. But still, to get to this point, that's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Female listener number 19 with a follow-up about the Austin. She says, true Austin, I was born here, lived here all my life. I did my student teaching at LBJ, so other than my alma mater, Anderson, I always hope LBJ does well. Very, very nice. Very good. Like I said, I root for all of the area schools. That's for sure. Somebody pointed out that David Ash played at Little River Academy in junior high. Led him in the last 2 minutes to beat Florence in eighth grade, about 65 yards. You knew then he was good.
David Ash and I played it. Both played a game at Stampede Stadium. That was my home stadium, and David Ash would have played there in middle school. So,
yeah,
good to know.
Yeah. Somebody said Kevin Dunn. Oh, police chief Ken too said Kevin Dunn's a true definition, the definition of a true Austinite. Maybe he did go to Westlake though. So understand that he grew up in and around the area.
Yeah, but Kevin's about as Austin as you can get. So
it's true. My point is Austin can be as much a state of mind as a state of geography.
Is that some kind of McConaughey thing? Or?
No, I hadn't really thought about that. But but it is kind of a state of mind, you know?
You want to talk about this foosball schedule for 22 that just came out?
Can we have some breaking news here, Snoop? Because we've got... How about this? Here we go.
I'm going to assume, Craig, and you know what happens when you assume... But I'm going to assume this will be the last Big 12 football schedule the Texas Longhorns ever worry about is the 2022 Big 12 schedule is out. Now, the entire Texas schedule is complete. We've known the non-conference schedule. So it's weird. I got to think about when the last time it was that Texas had exclusively a home schedule. But here it is. September 3rd, hosting Louisiana Monroe. September 10th. Speaking of Alabama, the Crimson Tide come to DKR on the 10th. UTSA coming to town. Jeff Traylor and the Roadrunners on the 17th. And then you start Big 12 play, Craig, with, depending on, you remember a couple months ago, this scheduling alliance was proposed that folks at Texas kind of shot down, said people are putting the cart before the horse. For all we know, this could be the last trip, maybe for a while, Texas makes to Lubbock on September 24th, 2022, to open Big 12 play. West Virginia at home on October 1st. October 8th, mark it down. That is your Red River Showdown this year. Sark v. whoever ends up being the new head coach at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Come back on October 15th, Iowa State at home. At Oklahoma State, maybe the last trip to Stillwater ever on October 22nd. Bye week, Halloween weekend, then I'll be honest, K-State fans, I'm sorry. This is the worst trip in the Big 12. At Manhattan on November 5th. Okay. TCU at home.
For you, that's worse than the West Virginia trip.
You know what? I actually like the West Virginia trip.
Because you like flying into Pittsburgh.
Flying to Pittsburgh. Know? Pittsburgh Airport's a nice airport. It's, you know, thanks to you, I can get good restaurant recommendations in Pittsburgh. There's something to do, so it's a good
You did
metro
go to
area.
Exonat, didn't you?
I did go to Exonat, yeah.
That's
I just got the big breakfast platter thing, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Eggs. And
little diner near the Pittsburgh Airport in Coraopolis. He asked me about breakfast recommendations. So there's a place called Exonat, like eggs and that, but it's just Exonat. It's in lowercase n, apostrophe A-T, Exonat.
Sure, standard fare, bacon, eggs, taters, all the good stuff.
Good diner breakfast.
Go to Manhattan on November 5th, TCU at home on November 12th. At Lawrence, which isn't a bad trip because Lawrence is only, what, about 45 minutes from the airport Marriott where everybody usually stays on those Kansas City road trips. And then pump the brakes. On the schedule, it says November 26th, which is a Saturday, the regular season finale, is at home against Baylor. But, Craig, as you pointed out to me during the break, not so fast. It probably will wind up being a Black Friday game.
Yeah. I'd say there's a good chance it would be a Black Friday game, you know, because we've seen it in some recent years be listed as a Saturday game, and then it got moved.
Because of TV.
Texas Tech a few years ago when it was on
the Black Friday. K-State game this year was one.
Yep.
That was originally a Saturday game.
Yep. So chances are it'll probably – I think that the TV networks are enamored enough with the ratings of what Texas brings – that they would have them play on Friday to the extent that who knows when SEC time comes, if that changes with Texas A&M. If anything, it may go back to Thanksgiving night or Thanksgiving Day. You know, there's a possibility. Although I think it would probably be in the evening because I don't think in the state of Texas they don't want to have an afternoon game going up against the Dallas Cowboys game in the afternoon on Thanksgiving.
You take your chances with the random NFL game or the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So, but no, at night though, I could see them doing it Thanksgiving night.
Well, especially whenever the next meeting is between those two programs, because it'll be the renewal of the rivalry.
Right.
That might go from they might put the Egg Bowl on ESPN and just put that one on Big ABC.
Could, yeah. So with that in mind, what I started to say is the last time Texas, you know, didn't play on Thanksgiving weekend, Thursday or Friday, was 1990. So it's gone back over 30 years. So I don't expect that to change.
No, and that, you know, you look at Baylor. That's that matchup. It's not A&M. And I was one of those people that I made the mistake of saying, it doesn't really matter. It's a Thanksgiving game. Texas doesn't need Texas A&M until I covered the first one and thought, wow, you know, there's really a lot of juice missing in this deal. With all apologies to TCU fans, but you know, Baylor, there's enough of a history there that whatever, it's fine.
Joining Baylor, Texas on that Thanksgiving weekend.
So you're looking at the Big 12 Masters schedule.
Yeah, I am. And by the way, even the Big 12 puts that disclaimer in there, Jeff. It says television selections for the first 3 weeks of the season and any other special dates are due to the conference by June 1st. Institutions will announce the non-conference portions of their schedule. So, in other words, yeah, by June 1st, the networks have to. That's why when we were talking about the 11 a.m. kick for Kansas State, and I was telling Linda about it, she's like, again? I was like, well, that one we knew because they had to announce that way on back.
Yeah.
They'll know by June 1st whether that game will be moved off November 26th, I expect to be. But the other games that weekend do not include Bedlam. Oklahoma is in Lubbock that weekend.
Okay.
Oklahoma State is at home against West Virginia. Iowa State's at TCU. And you got your sunflower showdown. You got Kansas State.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're expecting those two to battle it out for the Big 12 title.
Well, one of
Bedlam's the week before, the 19th.
Okay, I would like to see it be that last weekend. But one of Sunflower Showdown or Farmageddon needs to be played that last weekend of the regular season.
Not happening.
But I guess Iowa State and TCU, I know we got it this year. I bet if you look at the series history, that's been played on that last weekend pretty frequently. Maybe more frequently than you think. For some reason, I don't know why. It just feels that way. Maybe that's just me.
You know when Farmageddon's being played? The same day as Texas OU.
Really?
Saturday, October 8th, K-State at Iowa State.
See, I want that one late in the year because I want the chance of snow for that one.
Doubt it'll happen on October 8th.
Probably not. Well,
might be chilly.
I don't know.
Might be chilly in Ames.
Stranger
it's
things
in Ames.
Have happened.
Might be, yeah. But anyway, so that's your conference schedule. Texas will open at Texas Tech conference play, as Jeff mentioned, on Saturday, September 24th. So, yeah, and then they'll have West Virginia the week before Oklahoma. So that's
all right. So for you, Craig, let's look at these road trips.
Okay.
Lubbock, Stillwater, Manhattan, Lawrence. Which one are you looking forward? Which one do you
just you just check all the boxes?
Is there one of those you look forward to the most?
What do you mean?
That you enjoy? Because like I said, I don't think me saying that I actually like the West Virginia trip. I'm not doing a bit. Like I actually legitimately do like that trip, which might surprise people. Like in Morgantown, it's not a bad game day environment. Is there one of those that you like?
I don't know that there's one of those that I like more than the other. There are elements to all of them that I like, and there are elements to all of them that I do not like.
Okay.
So the problem with Kansas is you can't go right into Lawrence. You have to fly into Kansas City, and and you said, well, what's the big deal about that? It's 45 minutes to the airport. You're right. But if you're trying to get out of there and get to the airport to go do a basketball game
you will be in the middle of basketball season at that
so
point, too.
There's an issue there. Kansas State, you can fly in straight into Manhattan.
You can.
But they only have one or two of those a day, and if weather gets inclement, which it could in November, it could kind of push you back a little bit there. Stillwater, you can fly right into Stillwater these days. But it's almost better just to go into Oklahoma City. And now, by the way, American is a nonstop from Austin to Oklahoma City.
Oh, that's nice.
Our friend Dave Garrett took it the other day.
I usually just drive that one, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
So there's good stuff. The thing is this. It staggers because on the alternate years. Because on the alternate years, you get the two longest road trips of the year, Ames and Morgantown.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other years, you don't have the longest ones, but you have more of them. You have more of the longer distance ones. Because I don't count Lubbock into that one because, whatever, Lubbock you can get to relatively easily. So, you have to drive it up there, you can do that. You always drive Lubbock because you want to stop at Allsup's and Coleman and get a burrito.
Exactly. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
That's usually about the time.
I told you I went through there, rolled through there last time driving back, and they were out of burritos. You didn't have any made.
It's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Get you some of that coffee that's like battery acid.
Yeah.
Do the whole deal.
Ride that ride with a smile.
Get you the West Texas colon cleanse. I like the drive. No, I'm not joking about this either. This is not a bit. I like the drive out to Lubbock. I don't mind it because I usually leave like we'll get off the air at noon. I'll leave at that point. I'm taking my time. I'm not in a hurry to get out there. I've got a couple podcasts going. It's fine, and I enjoy it. The drive home from Lubbock, it is soul-crushing. It's one of the most soul-crushing experiences of your life doing that because usually if it's a late game, I'm tired, and then you're driving, and then usually by the time I get to Brownwood, I'm just done, and then I'm like, dude, I've got like another 3 hours to go to get home. So the drive, if I can rig it to where I can like drive there and fly back, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would work out well. Somebody is texted in on the Specs text line. They said, is Texas getting ready for SEC schedule? I don't remember three non-conference games at home. it's worked out that way. They usually play those when they have like that more conference road games. And technically, Texas is the road team when they play Oklahoma.
Yeah, Texas only has four conference home games at DKR scheduled. That'd be West Virginia, Iowa State, TCU, Baylor.
Yeah. So, so there you are. So they're playing away from home, obviously, when they play Oklahoma, whether they're the designated home team or the designated visiting team. That was my point. So when you have more out of the nine conference games, when you are playing five of those away from DKR and you only have four true home conference games, then that's when you see them add the extra non-conference. So somebody says, hey, wrong route to Lubbock. Dip south through Sweetwater and Winters and Wingate. Down to Eden, the next thing you know, you're in Brady and you're almost home. Oh, you're going away from Lubbock.
Yeah.
you're going to San Angelo if you're going to have it. Trust me, I had two kids that went to Angelo State. You go through Brady when you're going up to San Angelo. You go northwest.
When I go to coaching school, that's the road. That's the route I take.
Oh, you go to Lubbock, you got to go up northwest. Put it this way. I have deliberately detoured south like what the techs are saying there, but only to go to Lewakey to eat a steak outside of San Angelo. That's the only time I've done that. The rest of the time, you're right. You got to go up through, you know, Lampasas and Goldthwaite and Brownwood and Lawn, and you know, and you can do that 153 through Coleman and Winters. You can do it that way.
Deer lease country, as I call it,
yeah.
Craig.
Yeah, it is. There's lots of that going out there. So it's in the world. It's the world. I used to drive from Goliad to Lubbock straight through one stop in Junction. Took 8 hours. Wow. Yeah. Somebody said my son's a junior at Tech. I love the drive and hanging out in Lubbock.
Yeah, but what about that drive home? Notice the texter didn't say anything about the drive home. Sean number three, how's that drive home?
Yeah. Something about that.
Wish you had like a jetpack or something, cut that thing in half.
Yeah. Hey, Snoop, somebody said, made my debut as an eye reporter on Snoop's old F&F show back in 2011, 2012, whoa, while my daughter was a first lady at LBJ. That's the dance team, the first lady. Go Jags.
Yep, a long time ago.
Makes you feel a little bit older, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. Oh, my God, I don't even remember who played. Oh, my. Oh, it was years.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago, but I do not remember much from 2010.
So there we go. And somebody else pointed the Longhorns would not leave the state of Texas until the eighth game of the season. Yeah, at Oklahoma State.
True, yeah.
Yeah, they would not. They would be in the state of Texas all the way up to that point.
I'll say this about the schedule real quick before we hit the break. Talk about not leaving the state of Texas. All these home games you're going to play, conference games at home. I know we're a long way away from talking about this, but what Mack Brown said many years ago about winning the Texas State Championship, winning all your games in the state of Texas,
right?
It sounded cheesy at the time, and yes, I rolled my eyes, but the older I get, the more I look at the schedule, you think, dude, if they do win all their games in the state of Texas, in this particular schedule, that would be you win all your home games, which means you would beat Alabama. You would, the OU game is at home. Tech is a conference game. That's a home game, so – or that's a road game, but it's within the state of Texas. So, yeah, when in this rebuild process, as you get to that point where you start looking at the schedule and thinking, okay, can you win all your games within the state of Texas, that's a really good path to determining how close you are to being a championship-caliber program.
All right. Coming up, we'll have our Longhorn Notebook for this hour when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. This is Light the Tower on the Horn. On the Specs text line, got a dining suggestion, Jeff. Texter say, next trip to Lubbock, stop at the Spanish Inn in Snyder and have the green beef enchiladas. You'll thank me later. Will we?
The Spanish Inn in Snyder.
Yeah. The green beef enchiladas.
I think I'll just stick with Alsop's.
Okay. So I said,
it's probably going to have the same impact on my gastrointestinal tract, if we're being honest.
The texters had the 8 hour drive. Said from Goliad, said I knew salvation was close when I could see the lights of La Mesa. See, he's coming up the Tahoka Highway up 87. You know, doing that means you go past the Strip. It means you go past Pinkies and all the other beer joints back. And of course, Lubbock's wet now, so it doesn't really matter that much different. And then our man CB says, how drastically different is OU's roster going to look in 2022? Well, speaking of rosters, it's time for the Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Let's talk a little bit about that OU roster because that's what I wanted to talk about. A lot of guys have entered the portal. he hasn't appeared in there yet, nor have we heard for sure he's going to enter, but Marvin Mims is apparently leaning strongly towards entering the transfer portal. But, okay, you're thinking, okay, how many of these transfer portal guys could Texas get in on from Oklahoma? There's two, I think, to keep an eye on. One is Theo Weiss, the Allen product,
yep.
Former five-star receiver prospect. He has gone into the portal. Texas needs receivers. And when you look at the roster movement, you know, the Alvante Woodard decision to go into the portal, it didn't surprise anybody. He was a guy that went through senior day production, if you will, last week. Expected him to move on. I mean, 7 catches in 4 years. He's had injuries. It just didn't click for Alvante Woodard. But I heard Kevin Arad say this yesterday on RBKD, and it's hard to disagree with it. I mean, if you can't find a way your way out of the field in this receiver room, then it's probably maybe need to move on and find somewhere else to play. And, you know, Craig, really, we talked about this all year. Outside of Xavier Worthy, and when Joshua Moore left the program, you took him out of the conversation, and Jordan Whittington with the caveat that when he's healthy, he's productive, but the when healthy part seems to continue to be a really big problem,
sure.
A big issue for him. It's like you're just waiting on Marcus Washington to emerge. The staff is really like Kelvonte Dixon, but he didn't emerge in the way that I think a lot of people thought he would. And then after that, Craig, I didn't hear a peep about any other receiver in the program this year. So Texas needs receivers, so keep an eye on Theo Weiss as a guy that Texas, I think, has a lot of interest in now that he's in the portal. Another name to keep an eye on, I know the staff likes those three tight ends, the three young tight ends, Jatavion Sanders, Gunnar Helm, and Juan Davis. And Jared Wiley's got remaining eligibility. We know Cade Brewer's moving on.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a base 12 personnel offense. And the fact that Austin Stogner's in the portal, don't be surprised if Texas becomes a real contender for Austin Stogner.
For those of you who still want to base 12, one back, two tight ends.
Yes. Thank you, Craig. Sorry. I know I get a little too technical.
It's all right.
But keep an eye on Austin Stogner. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I do feel like if, you know, things come together that Texas could be a real contender.
Is there anything to, and not necessarily from a Texas perspective, but any other collegiate program, is there anything to the rumors about Marvin Mims?
Yeah, I mean, he's strongly considering entering the portal, but until he appears in there, until he's in there.
So Jalen Ford was reaching out to him on Twitter.
Boy, and it's...
saying, we need you, you know, he's his former high school teammate at Frisco Lone Star.
Yeah, Chris Hummer had that report yesterday. It was a big day for some of our guys at 24/7 Sports yesterday. Chris Hummer had the Marvin Mims report. Yeah, Bijan Robinson getting at him on Twitter. Jalen Ford, they played together at Lone Star. The one I would, if Marvin Mims does enter the portal, the school I would watch would be TCU,
mm-hmm.
because he and Chandler Morris are really close. Mm-hmm. They were roommates together at Oklahoma. That's the one to watch, I think, for Marvin Mims.
Okay.
Is TCU. As far, like, I said this about the Bijan Robinson elbow injury relative to the Texas season when things were going downhill. I'm like, this is the our pets' heads are falling off portion of the season.
Okay.
I think we've reached that point with the Oklahoma transition because inadvertently, Greg Biggins, who covers the West Coast for us at 24/7 Sports, does an update yesterday with Damani Jackson, a five-star corner out of Modern Day, and he's down to Alabama and USC. And he's talked about, you know, Biggins has the quotes, and the quotes are right there. Nobody was misquoted. It's all there. Talk about, you know, who has he talked to from the Oklahoma staff? Well, he hasn't met with Lincoln Riley yet. That's apparently going to happen. But he's talked a lot with Alex Grinch. And he's also talked with Roy Manning, who, as Damani Jackson said, oh, yeah, he used to be the corners coach at Oklahoma. The problem is if Roy Manning is recruiting for SC, he's been on the road with Bob Stoops doing in-homes as a member of the Oklahoma staff. And people are like, well, is this an NCAA violation? I'm like, it's not a violation. Is it unethical as all get out and shady as hell? Yeah, but it ain't a violation. It's a terrible look, but I don't think it technically violates any rules. And I thought it was funny, as soon as that story comes out, the OU compliance department tweets out the big eyes and the 100 emoji, and to which a lot of Texas fans responded, oh, wasn't aware that Oklahoma had a compliance department, but here we are.
Yeah,
Oklahoma has reached the our pets' heads are falling off portion of their coaching transition. Let's get to a couple Texas recruiting notes real quick. We'll get Mike Roach on Friday, and Mike will break all this down. Two guys to keep an eye on. I mentioned I thought Mike was at Devon Campbell's basketball game last night. Mm-hmm. I think Texas should still like where they sit.
I saw that video of him dunking.
6'5", 300 with those feet. Give me those kind of linemen all day, every day,
yeah.
And I'll figure out, is he a guard? Can he be a functional tackle? Take him, I'll figure it out. Kobe McKenzie, 4-star linebacker out of Lubbock, Cooper, number 131 overall in the 24/7 Sports composite rankings, decommitted from Oklahoma, got his Texas offer yesterday. They're working on setting up an official visit, but Craig, you would know this. The problem is Lubbock Cooper's still in the playoffs, and they've got a game this weekend against Wichita Falls Rider in Abilene on Friday.
That's correct.
So they're working on setting up an official visit. I think Texas should like where they sit there.
That which answers the one person's question about Kobe McKenzie.
Right. And then Malik Ogbo, the big offensive tackle out of the state of Washington, number 272 overall in the 24/7 Sports composite rankings. There was a lot of Auburn buzz, mm-hmm. but it does sound like Texas is really becoming maybe the leader in that recruitment. And, man, for a program that needs as much, I feel like I've been saying this for like a decade plus, for a Texas program that needs an infusion of depth and talent along the offensive line, you'll take as many high upside offensive linemen as you can.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's kind of weird. And then one more note tying into Oklahoma, Xavion Bryce out of Arlington Seguin. We've got him listed on the 24/7 Sports database as a wide receiver. He's actually, Oklahoma liked him as a defensive back. I think Texas likes him as a defensive back. He's got an official visit now set up to Texas.
Okay.
So there you go. I know that's a rapid fire recruiting update, but a lot of moving pieces right now.
Stoner believes that Stogner and Lake McCree will be the 2 in the 12 personnel package at SC.
Possible. Also on Stogner, keep an eye on South Carolina, the Shane Beamer tie-in there.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on that.
Somebody else asked, do you see Billy Bowman maybe entering the transfer portal? I would answer that by saying, do you see his girlfriend, the softball player at Oklahoma, entering the transfer portal? I joke, but it was a big part of the flip, too. He even said, he said it in our studio.
It was the part of the flip.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we had him in studio for the television show, and he talked about that.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, nothing's going to surprise me about what that roster. I do think it's funny, and Parker Thune and a couple of our guys that cover Oklahoma for OU Insider were on Twitter saying, has any program ever been through this much in a 72-hour period? And, of course, somebody immediately replied, SMU would like a word with you quickly a program. Because I don't know if you saw the report, Craig, like Florida State has sent assistant coaches to Norman to recruit guys that have gone into the portal.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now. Like, we're at SMU death penalty, guys hanging out in the parking lot levels of this coaching transition. There's that part of it. And also, I'm thinking, Oklahoma's dealt with this for, 3 days now? This is day 3 of the post-Lincoln Riley crisis. And I'm thinking, I've had head coaches in waiting, taking jobs on massive official visit weekends. We've had awkward football banquets, botched coaching searches, the whole offensive coordinator search, the Sterling Gilbert flight to Tulsa. There was that whole deal.
Who, by the way, was just let go at Syracuse.
Oh, was he really?
Sterling Gilbert. 3 of the offensive staff at Syracuse were relieved of their duties, including Sterling Gilbert.
Yeah, not looking good for Dino Babers. There's that whole deal. We've had,
Tommy Tuberville having dinner at the 50-yard line restaurant with 2 recruits, got up to go make a call, took the Cincinnati job, and left dinner.
I'm talking about just Texas, though.
Yeah.
So we got all that. We've had monkeys and leaked videos. And, I mean, I've got a decade worth of stuff, Oklahoma writers, to show you that, this too shall pass. You're going to be okay. Just take a deep breath and get
through. Saying hold your beer? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I thought it was funny. I saw a collection of OU reporters, John Hoover, Eddie Radosovich. They were hanging out at the airport when Lincoln Riley and those guys flew out. Got on the private jet to SC, and I watched that video thinking, man, it's been a minute since I had to stake out a private airplane hangar at either ABIA or Georgetown or Executive Airport or wherever. It's been a minute since I had to go do that.
Last time I saw a college football head coach come in on a private plane into the airport was Lincoln Riley.
Really?
Recruiting Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
I was on my way. I was getting ready to hop on the charter with men's basketball to go place, and here comes Lincoln. Sees me, big broad smile on his face. Greg, how you doing? Chat for a few minutes. I knew why he was there.
Yeah. The last one I saw was probably Tom Herman.
Okay.
Tom made the flight from Houston to Austin.
Yeah. Chasing those private planes. Oh, yeah.
Boy, it's my first year full time on the beat was 2012, and needless to say, it's been a crazy ride.
Yes, that's true. You arrived just in time, Jeb. All right, we'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower on the Horn. Got a few minutes to go here. Snoop, have you watched the Get Back documentary there on either Apple TV?
I've heard Dave Williams wax. He couldn't stop talking about it this weekend. He
excellent.
Said it's so good.
Yeah, I've only seen the first 30 minutes of part one, but I plan to catch up on that. Got some video catching up to do between that and Ted Lasso.
Man, look. CB, I appreciate your contributions to the show.
Yes.
Chris Bennett and CB 9000.
I know where this is going.
What? Why did you have to
revisit 2001?
Remind me that today's the 20th anniversary of the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah. And
let me be honest, in my time as a fan following Texas football, it's the most painful loss.
Was ever. It?
To think that Texas at that point, I was thinking everything everybody else was thinking, dude. They have already beaten Colorado this year. They win this game, they're going to go play Miami in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be great.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
It was very far from great, Craig.
That was a difficult day. And if you want to know a reason why, well, you ask Rod Babers, don't ask us. He's the one that's tight with Chris Sims. You want to know a reason why Chris Sims doesn't come back to Austin?
The fallout from that whole deal.
When you're getting death threats on your cell phone, when your cell phone number is out and sent to people and they're calling you with death threats because you performed poorly, and he did, in a football game.
Well, every fan base in America has their portion that used to be boiling oil and have their fat sold for soap. Hey, real quick, I do want to update everybody on this because we were getting this on the text line and I've been kind of following it, but it seems like it's been resolved. There was a situation at Aikens High School earlier today. They did go on lockdown with reports of an active shooter situation, but I'm reading from the Twitter of Ashley Gonzalez, the AISD police chief. Update, no shots have been fired. Campus remains on lockdown while police investigate. Students and staff are safe. And then 11 minutes ago, all involved parties have been identified and located. Aikens remains on lockdown while investigation continues. Students and staff are safe. So anybody that was wanting to know about the why there was a lot of heavy police presence at Aikens, that's why. But it does sound like, thankfully, that situation has been resolved.
That's good. It's good to hear. Okay. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for today. Tomorrow, Vic Schaefer, Texas women's basketball coach, our weekly conversation with him. It'll be coming off of tonight's game against Jackson State and previewing the matchup with the Aggies of Texas A&M. And, of course, Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers, will join us as well. With all that and more coming up tomorrow. Thanks to Todd Dodge, Westlake Chaparral's head coach, for joining us. Thanks as well to Jared Elliott, Texas volleyball head coach. For our man behind the glass, our producer, Snoop Daniel. And for my co-host, Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Shirts and Skins up next. We'll visit with you tomorrow on Light the Tower.
P&E.
National Best Friends Day out there.